Once more, this Sunday we read from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, which emphasizes resurrection hope as living hope. And where we have read, particularly verse 15, Peter writes and says, "But in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence." So for Peter, it is clear that we have hope, and the hope is in us. And indeed, if we are the people of the resurrection, people of life, indeed we do have hope. If we witness to the resurrection of Christ, our Lord. And Peter established this earlier in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1. Where he said, "By his great mercy," that is God, "he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead." So this hope, we did not generate it ourselves. It's a gift given by God through the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection then, for Peter, is not mere proof of Jesus' victory of the cross. No, the resurrection for Peter is even more than that. And it is for this reason that he thinks and hopes that those who would read his letters would embody this resurrection life and this hope that is in them will be expressed in all circumstances, in all through all difficulties. The recipients of this letter of Peter didn't find life easy, not at all. Life was extremely difficult for them. They were suffering, more than suffering, actually, and scattered throughout Asia Minor. They were excluded. They were an excluded community. They were socially marginalized. And Peter sees them as exilees, as strangers. And he emphasizes their suffering when he says that. And so in this context, hope becomes a matter of faith as much as it becomes a practical matter of life, living. Hope becomes both. It shapes how believers understand themselves and how they understand their relationship with the God who resurrected Jesus from the dead. It shapes how they understand also life and how they understand relationship with others. Peter, for him, resurrection it changed his view, his entire view. And no wonder resurrection features much in this letter. Changed his view of living. Though a young Jew was born in Jewish tradition, reared in Jewish tradition and Jewish scriptures, the moment of the resurrection, yes, I agree, you could also say the impact of Pentecost, because his first sermon was on Pentecost. But here he features resurrection more in this letter, and therefore resurrection changed his entire view. Resurrection, therefore, should change our view of life, of relationship, of faith, and our hope that we find in Christ Jesus, the risen one. It should challenge us even more. And so, how relevant is this to this day, Mother's Day, that we're celebrating today? Mother's Day is often filled with flowers, with celebration, with chocolate, with lunches and dinners. And that's what it is. And yes, yes, we should celebrate our mothers and give thanks to God for them. Yet beneath the beauty of the daily gifts that we offer, and as well as the face that our mothers pull as well, the reality is often unseen. Many mothers carry invisible burdens, struggles that we do not see, though we celebrate them. They carry exhaustion of constant giving, grief of sacrifice unnoticed, loneliness of carrying emotional weight, particularly of families, worrying. When I thought about this, I had a picture of my grandmother. Mothers are not only our mothers, mothers are grandmothers and aunts, particularly in the African sense. I remembered my grandmother. We lived in a four-roomed house, so there was quite a very small passage, you know, those we called the matchboxes in Queenstown. So we lived there. At about 2 a.m., she would wake up and pace up and down that passage and praying for each and every one of us by name and naming all the troubles and grief we give to her. And she would pray. And we would hear this, and you would hear how what she thinks about the other child and what she thinks about the other child in the prayer. It's all mentioned in the prayer. But there was one that she always emphasized. And, oh, well, because you don't know her, so you will not see the humorous side of this. And it was my aunt, whom we call Uledi. That was her name. Oh, she would have a lengthy paragraph and a litany of things that she would mention about Unoma Lady in her prayer. And that is the grief, the weight of carrying emotional grief for the families. And sometimes those are unnoticed. And so this letter of Peter and the hope that Peter speaks about, it resonates because it speaks to a people who suffer and suffer unnoticed. Some mothers, they nurture children while carrying wounds of their own. Some, they nurture or mother, though not biologically, but through care, through wisdom, through presence. And I also did remember when I thought about this point that there were some who were just teachers at school, but I would see them as mothers to me, and they mothered through care and presence and attention. And these are all gifts that mothers have. But through all of this, they suffer. I would not have said it much more better than Roseanne, how she put it in her prayer. They suffer. Certain exclusions. They suffer from patriarchal systems. Mothering becomes a thankless job, and the weight becomes much more heavier. But as humanity, if we put on the lens of the resurrection, that changed Peter's view of life, then it would also change our view of life. Once we put on the lens of the resurrection, it would probably make us more human as God intended us to be human. And so Peter challenges the people and says, come on, embody this hope. Live a life of resurrection hope. And when someone is asking you, why are you so hopeful? Be always ready to give a testimony. For those who are much more evangelical, they would think of this Peter's verse as an apologetic for the Christian faith. Let's give reasons why we are Christians. But Peter is speaking about hope. Give reasons why you are hopeful, filled with hope because of the resurrection. So this is not a religious apology, but it is a testimony of the life that we live and the life that we lead. When, again, I thought about this, I thought about the grief that I gave to my own mother, my own biological mother. I remember one day, and like high school kids, I think I'm in a safe space here. And I can speak about my life freely, don't worry. I remember from high school once when I tried drinking and I came home and my mom heard from one of the teachers already how drunk I was at school. So when I came back home, she already knew. But she was not disappointed. She was disappointed, but she was not angry. Not angry. She did not cease to trust me, nor to love me, nor to give to me. She still continued to give. Even though other people may say, oh, you think you have an angel in that child. Watch what he sees, what he does behind your back. But a mother's love is constant, continues, and is hopeful. And I remember once, heard it not directly, but indirectly. She had hope that this one day will become something. And the reason she continued to give was because of that hope. No matter how much I would disappoint her, but she continued to give because of that hope, because of what she prayed for, because of what she dreamt on my behalf, because of what she longed for me to be. She continually gave and gave and gave because she was filled with hope. She didn't have much. All that she gave was from her heart because she didn't have much. And so Peter would say to her, then give reason, give testimony why you are so hopeful. Give that testimony to people. Tell them how the resurrection has impacted your life, that you know that even though your son may grieve you 1 hour, but God will resurrect you and even resurrect him. Give testimony. And so, yes, indeed, we live in a country where children disappoint their parents. They are lured sometimes. Sometimes they are promised things by people. They are bought. They are emotionally blackmailed at times. And we see them doing things that they know are wrong. But guess what? Their mothers would always have a hopeful prayer on their behalf. We were here on Thursday listening to stories of people who live on the streets. A nice, very moving short play by members of Streetscapes. And from that, we heard stories of broken families, broken relationships, broken love, broken trust. All of them who spoke mentioned a mother. When my mother died, my life took the worst turn. Mentioned a mother. Because a mother's love is an enduring love. A mother's love is a hope-filled love. No matter what the circumstances are. So mother's love reminds us of how human we ought to be. How human we need to be. And so we have to appreciate, particularly as men, as sons, as boys, as brothers, as uncles, we need to appreciate and give thanks to these ones who embody a love that gives and gives and never tires to give. A love that is considerate no matter what the circumstances are. And so for us as men, for us to be human means that we have to pay attention. That is what it means. We need to notice what is not immediately expressed and visible to the eye. As men, we need to, when I say men, I mean boys, brothers, husbands, uncles, that's what I mean. Because we demand and demand and demand and demand. That's how the system has shaped us. We need to learn to be more compassionate instead of controlling. More participating and practicing tenderness instead of emotional distance and pretending to be strong. We need to share the burdens instead of watching others carrying them. We need to honor, celebrate, love, and appreciate with words and more so with partnership. You see, we practice resurrection life. We don't just believe it. We practice resurrection love. We don't just preach it. We live resurrection hope. We don't just read about it. And so that's why we need to change and become more human as God intended for us to be. And so we celebrate today mothers who show us enduring love. We celebrate mothers who carry us. We celebrate mothers who are always filled with hope for their children. and we give thanks to God for you. And we say, you do not go unnoticed. For mothers, being human is being seen, valued, supported, and loved, and loved. Yes, yes, we know they give enduring love. It does not mean that we should not offer love as well. It means we ought to as well. And in becoming more human through the life of risen Christ, then we become a living witness. How? The world is filled with broken families. We should show the world that there could be a love that binds us together. If our family principles are rooted in resurrection hope. There are more children fleeing abuse and living on the streets, as we have heard. But if we embody resurrection love and resurrection hope, we can give the world an alternative. And so, yes, that is how we witness to this hope that we have, how we witness to this life that we have been gifted, by showing the world an alternative. An alternative of being family, of being mothers, thank you, Roseanne, of motherhood, an alternative of love and peace. To God be the glory. Amen. All of us have been mothered and cared for by mothers. And so, just before we sing, I would ask us to pray to God and give thanks to God for the mother's love that we have received. If they are here, hold their hand. If not, we have learned how to communicate virtually. Hold a virtual hand in your heart and say, for the enduring love, for the hope-filled love that you have given me, I praise God. Let us pray. O loving and life-giving God, today we give you thanks for the love of mothers, the love that comforts and corrects, that sacrifices and sustains, that holds on through joy and through struggle. We thank you for the quiet acts often unseen, their prayers whispered in the night, the burdens carried in silence, the courage to keep giving even when weary, and the hope that refuses to give up on those they love. We thank you for mothers, grandmothers, for aunts, for teachers, caregivers, and all who have nurtured life with tenderness and strength through their compassion, patience, perseverance. We catch a glimpse of your own faithful love. For those whose mothering has been joyful, we give you thanks. For those whose mothering has been difficult or painful, we ask for your comfort and healing. For those who grieve mothers no longer with us, surround them with hope. Teach us, O God, not only to celebrate mothers with words, but to honor them through compassion, support, and shared care. May our homes reflect an alternative, resurrected life filled with hope, dignity, tenderness, and mutual love. And may all who nurture others find strength in your grace, rest in your peace, and joy in knowing that their labor of love is never unseen by you. With thanksgiving, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who calls us into the fullness of life. Amen.